need you all to hear what I'm saying. Success is a plan that takes years in the making. When nobody did, I believed. Had to let go of things I did not need. Cut off some friends in the process. What could I say? I could no longer carry the dead weight. Get off your ass, there's lots you can do. You wanna learn something, then watch how I move. But they don't wanna do shit. They wanna be spoon-fed like a little baby. But that shit is crazy, boy. Change up your mindset. I get 3 days worth of work done in just one. 7-2-7 mindset is the hustle for us. You get it?
I'm Alex Corona.
And I'm Jamie Burks.
And this is the 727 Podcast. And today we got world-known speaker and my man is everything to me, bro, right here, Ryan Stueman. And, you know, I wanted my sharks to know a little bit about you and who you are and, you know, how I followed you for these years and you know, how we got here. And I'd like you to maybe let them know about, you know, who is Ryan Stueman?
Well, I am, first of all, Jamie, Alex, thanks for inviting me on here, man. You know, I think the world of both of you guys, and I think that you're an amazing couple in the sense that, you know, Alex, you're the type of person that's just run. And Jamie, you're just smart enough to put the right leashes on him to where he doesn't run too far off. And I think that's a beautiful combination that you guys got, you know. And so, you know, I admire that about you guys and appreciate you letting me on here to talk. Who am I, man? I guess I'm a person that probably shouldn't be where I am right now. I come from a track record of failures, to be honest with you. You know, I was adopted at age 7. When I was young, my two grandfathers were entrepreneurs. So my mom's grandfather was a banker, savings and loans, small time banker in small towns of like 1,000 to 1,500 people. They had 4 or 5 locations. And my father's father was he owned a window and glass company. So I come from, you know, I've got the genetic makeup that comes somewhere along the line of two entrepreneurs. But in the 80s, the SNLs crashed. And obviously, when they crashed, the banks went out of business. And then my grandfather, that was the window guy, his business went out of business because he didn't have bank lines anymore. They had destroyed my family. My mom and dad split up. The town people, they might as well have had, you know, this is the 80s, and they might as well have had pitchforks and torches coming after us because the banker stole all their money, even though that wasn't the case. But we didn't have Google or the news to do the research with what was going on back then. So about 5 years old, my parents split up. And my mom remarried and I got adopted and changed my name and, you know, had a rough upbringing. You know, I go to the school and my last name used to be McCord and now it's Stueman, and the kids in this small town, your grandfather ruined my parents' business. You had to change your name. You're an embarrassment to your family. And it's like, man, I really hated life. And, you know, a lot of people, when they wind up in that situation, they go down the same exact path that I did. You know, I started smoking weed at age 13, started selling drugs at age 16, got arrested for selling drugs and manufacturing cocaine at 19, ended up serving 3 years in prison and got out when I was 21 years old. I'm sorry, ended up serving 2 years the first time in prison, got out when I was 20 years old. And when I got out the first time, I made a pact with myself. I said, I'm not going back there. And no matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to do it all in and I'm going to do it the right way. No more selling drugs, no more using drugs, none of that shit. And so I got out and I went to work where most people that drop out of school in the ninth grade. So I got an eighth grade education. I mean, it's a beautiful story here. So adopted, dropping out of school, selling drugs, going to prison. I went to work for a car wash. And the car wash, my stepdad, he was the manager there. And I started vacuuming cars. Then I started wiping off cars, doing windows, so on and so forth. Eventually selling car washes to people that would come in. They'd want a $10 car wash. I'd sell them a $12 car wash and make a little bit of commission and stuff like that. And my goal was to be the best fucking car wash person in existence. And I still, to this day, I'm going to buy one of these days. I got my eyes on a few and I still believe I am. Like if you threw me out at the car spa car wash down the street right here, man, I'd have that shit running tip top like the military in about 5 minutes. Right. And that's always been a dream of mine to eventually own one. The one that I worked at is here in Plano, Texas, where my office is. And one day I'm going to buy that bitch. And so it's just been a lifelong dream for me. But because I worked really hard at that car wash, there was a regular customer that came in. And one day she said, I want to give you a job. And I was like, lady, I got a job. She goes, no, I want to give you a real job. I'm like, this is a real job. I make $600 a week. And she said, how would you like to make $6,000 a week? Something of that nature. And I said, well, that seems utterly impossible. And she said, well, I want to give you a job doing mortgages. And I was like, what is that? I never heard that word in my life. Right. Even though my grandfather was a banker, I was young when they were doing all that stuff. So I had no idea. And she ends up, you know, saying, hey, I want to give you a job in mortgages. And I'm like, well, listen, I don't know anything about finances. I paid cash from a 1968 F-250 over there. I just work here. And, you know, I love working here. I love the people that work here. She goes, I'm going to make you a millionaire in a year if you'll give me a chance. And I'm like, well, I'm a convicted felon. And she goes, well, what did you do? And I said, well, I got caught selling drugs. She goes, ah, hell, you'll fit right in around here. It'll be perfect for you, you know? So I go and I turn in my car wash keys and I showed up the first day of work there. And I was dressed like what I thought was fancy, but it was redneck fancy. And, you know, in an office full of people in Gucci suits that look like you, Alex, you know, suit and tie and everything else. And I showed up in a polo shirt with cowboy boots on. And man, I thought I was in tall cotton because I wore a uniform at the car wash. But within 3 weeks of working there, I made about $6,500. And I'm like, shit, I'm onto something. Within four to six weeks of working there, I'd made $22,000 or so. And I'm like, man, this is a life changer. I would go on the next year to earn $700,000, own 32 homes, build an investment portfolio of real estate properties. And again, we're not talking 32 homes by today's price. We're talking $45,000 to $80,000 homes in the hood and stuff like that. But what happened as a direct result of that is I buy this $400,000 house that I live in, and I learned, I'm really good at the computer, and I learned how to hack in, using the word hack here, but how to hack into the bank server and just work from home. I could log in remotely using remote desktop on a server, and I would enter loans from home, and I didn't have to show up at the office because I'm the top producer, and everybody knows when you're the top producer, you make your own rules. That's lesson one of this podcast. When you can go get your own leads and you can close your own deals, can't nobody tell you shit because now you're valuable and they can't afford to lose that value. So yeah. I'm working from home. But if you think about it, I have 32 homes. That means, you know, 32 people every month are coming to pay me rent. And these 32 people are showing up in piece of shit cars because they're hood houses, right? So they're showing up in piece of shit cars and they're not the most well-esteemed people. But on the flip side, I got 5 or 10 real estate agents coming over every month as well. The people dressed like you, driving Mercedes-Benz and Cadillacs and stuff like that. And then I got my friends coming by and you know, people that I'm doing loans for coming by. I just worked out of my house. Now that's acceptable in 2023, but in 2005, it was not. It wasn't a normal thing. Somehow along the way, the police thought that I was selling drugs again. They go get a warrant from the same judge that convicted me in 1999. They kick in the door of my house and they raided my house. I didn't have any drugs, but I had a gun. And the gun was a gift from my stepfather. I didn't use the damn thing. I don't know that I'd ever even shot it. It was just sitting in my closet. But the fact is I was a felon in possession of a firearm. But in the state of Texas, there's a 5-year period that if after you got out and I was convicted in 99, this is 2005, there's a 5-year waiting period and you can have a gun again. So I beat the case. I hired a guy named Craig Watkins, who coincidentally just passed away a few days ago, man, and hired a guy, Craig Watkins, to defend me. I'll never forget. I get this postcard in the mail, and it's a picture of this intimidating looking motherfucker, right? And he says, and on the postcard, it's like, I win cases. So I call him. I'm like, hey, man, where's your office? I'd like to come by and talk to you. He goes, on the corner of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X in South Dallas. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to bring a friend or two with me, right? Because clearly I can't have a gun going into that neighborhood. And I go meet with this guy and I hire him. We beat the case. And then the ATF picked up the case. And during that time, the ATF picked up the case. You don't win to the feds. They have unlimited resources. They're going to put you in jail. They're going to get their thing. They're trying to give me 20 years, which, you know, 2005, that would be like next year that I would be eligible for parole to come out of there. Because in the fed time, you do day for day. And so they're trying to give me 20 years, but along the way, Craig decides to run for district attorney of Dallas, Texas. And I didn't know this at the time. I knew that he would be the first Democrat and the first African-American in Dallas County to be elected to a public office in the judicial system. But when he passed away the other day, the news said he was the first African-American to ever be elected in the state of Texas, dude. So I didn't realize the history we were making at the time. And he did get elected. We pulled off an amazing feat and beat the incumbent and all this shit, man. That's like God moving in amazing ways. And what happened was he traded some bank robbers for a lower sentence on me. Dallas County had arrested some bank robbers and they traded these guys to Scarecrow Bandits for me. Long story short, I end up getting 15 months, which is a lot better than 20 years. But like, I'm a millionaire. I'm married. I'm going to church. I got my life together. I don't even cuss like I do right now and everything else. And here I am going to federal prison for 15 months. 5 months, 4 months into federal prison, wife leaves me, takes all my homes, remarries, sells everything that I got because I gave her power of attorney and shit like anybody with any sense would when they go into prison. Literally destroyed my life. I walked in a millionaire. 13 months later, on a 15-month sentence, I walk out with $25 in my name, maybe $50, but just it was less than 100. It wasn't very much money. And I knew two things. I was never going to do anything in the dark that I wouldn't do in the light. And I knew that I had an opportunity to go do something once again. But, you know, your friends, they're like, oh, you had it one time. You'll never get it back. Oh, you know, yeah, you know, enjoy it while it lasted. So I was determined to get back. And so 2008, I walk out of prison. I go get a job in mortgages again during the worst time probably to do mortgages next to right now that we're going through. But I crushed it, man. I'm back making $300,000 a year when the subprime bust is going on. 2010. Obama and Congress, rightfully so, signed something into law called the Dodd-Frank Act. And it said if you're one of the caveats was if you're a felon, you can't write loans. All right, God, you know, every time I seem to get up in life, you're pushing me back down. I call that the force of average. You know, if you're chasing greatness, there's going to be a gravitational pull on your life to trap you in average because the world survives its algorithm on average. And so basically, I'm out of a job. I don't know anything other than washing cars, selling drugs. I'm terrible at selling drugs, clearly. I went to prison for it. And mortgages, and I can't do any of those three things. But what I did know was when I got out of prison, I would post on Facebook. And I wanted my ex-wife to see, maybe she saw my profile and saw that I was winning, you know, and I just wanted to prove that, hey, you chose to leave me for somebody else who will never be as good, who will never care as much. But as a result of that, people start showing up in my DMs and stuff saying, hey, man, can you do a loan for me? So in 2010, God gave me the idea that, hey, man, why don't you start teaching people how to make money from social media? Nobody wanted to learn it. It wasn't like it is today. People were like, Facebook. And so I just did it for them. And I made a bunch of people a bunch of money. And that got exhausting. And about 2012, I started actually teaching instead of doing. And, you know, since then, I've gone on to build 64 companies that, you know, 7, 8, some of them 9 figures a year in revenue and in business. And I have remarried. I've got a family of 4 kids. My wife, Amy, and I live in Dallas, Texas. I have a 22,000 square foot building that we operate out of here in Plano, Texas. I'm in charge of over 40,000 clients between the companies that I run and the companies that I invest in. I have, you know, hundreds of employees that I'm responsible for making payroll for. And, you know, we even do church here in our building. But if you were to go back to, I didn't graduate high school, but if you were to go back to high school and see who was least likely to succeed, it'd be me on there. But I tell you guys this story because, and Alex, you and Jamie already know it, but I tell the audience this story because those things gave me experience to lead people, an unqualified man. Those stories and experiences gave me the qualifications to lead people that wouldn't otherwise be led. I've led people to God. I've led people to change in their life. I've led people to losing weight. I've led people to their spouse. I've led people to millions of dollars, some of them hundreds of millions of dollars, as you know. And the least qualified person sometimes becomes the most qualified person if they don't quit. And, you know, there was plenty of times in my life where I thought I'll just go back to washing cars. I've had enough. I'll just go back to being a loser. I've had enough of this. But some reason, stubbornness, foolishness, or God's grace, I just stayed in the game. And now, you know, I couldn't be any happier in my life. I'm not addicted to any drugs. I don't even drink alcohol. I got a tremendous amount of responsibilities. I'm changing lives on a daily basis. And I don't say all of this to brag. I say it because you might be that Ryan from 1999, 1997, and you're watching this right now or listening to this, and you're like, man, how the fuck am I ever going to make anything of my life? Listen, I didn't know either, but I know this. We've got a radio signal directly to God in the back of our head that some people call a conscience, and that conscience has given you an opportunity, and if you don't take that opportunity, it's going to go somewhere else, but God's not going to call you with an opportunity that you're not capable of making a reality. It's not going to happen overnight, but it'll damn sure happen over time if you just stay with it. So hopefully, if nothing else, no matter what other questions you guys ask me, let that story inspire you guys and show you what's possible, because it's not where you came from that matters. It's not the story in the past that matters. It's the experiences from the past that create the story in the future.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that for a lot of people, I think that's their objection, where it's, you know, I one step forward, three steps back, or I can't do it because of this. And they just can't, it's excuses too, that just say that this is why I can't excel forward to be successful, or I don't have any money, or I don't have this. I mean, everything that you've said right here is like, this is real life. I mean, what you're saying is just been kicked down just a few times. I mean, like literally huge kicks in the face for you. And every single time, no matter what it was, whether it was jail, like living family life, ex-wife, it's just, you just kept going. You just kept going, like no matter what it was, like the worst things that could happen, just you kept going. So that's great.
A salesman doesn't become a master objection handler without having objections. And I couldn't become a mastery of helping people become the greatest version of themselves if I hadn't started below where 99% of people on this planet, like it would be easy if I was some trust fund kid and everything else, like, oh yeah, he's rich, he's got companies, happy marriage. Of course, he came up with money. But when people see, God damn, that guy was a fucking loser and made something of himself, I'm somewhere in the middle of his story. I can go 10 times further than him. That's what I'm looking to do to the world.
Right. That's amazing.
Many listeners, you know, have the same similar story, and they're stuck exactly where they're at, and they think it's not possible. And, you know, that's why I wanted you to, you know, definitely let them know about that, because everything is possible. And I see, you know, that you are, you know, your faith is very strong, and you use God a lot. And what would you say, why do you think your faith is so strong?
Man, you have to think about this. There's no way you could tell this story without an amazing executive producer. And God is the executive producer of all of our lives. And he's trying to get you through experiences so that you can share that story and become an expert and help others through life. If I hadn't gone through that, how am I going to help somebody else lose weight? How am I going to help somebody else break addiction? How am I going to, there's, I think, 64,000 prisons in America that my podcast is inside of, where every day some dude that's doing 10 years, 15 years, that's an absolute loser in life, that thinks he'll never make nothing, he hears my podcast and he goes, well, fuck, there's the one example of somebody that came from where I am that has changed his life, even though he'd been to prison twice, changed his life and still won. I haven't won by cheating. I haven't won by lying. I've won by staying faithful. And it's hard, man, because there's been plenty of times in my life, guys, where I've been like, really, prison again? I give 10% to the church. I have a good job. I don't cuss. I dress like Ned Flanders. Like what is going on here? Like, God, why have you forsaken me? And now I look back and I connect those dots, and God wasn't forsaking me. He was taking me through a process that I needed to go through that qualified me to lead other people. And so you can't make that up. You can't live that and not believe in something greater than yourself. Because like I said, there's no reason for me to be here other than the fact that God's up there authoring one of the greatest stories to ever be written. I get a little emotional, but that's what I feel like.
That's real shit, bro. Real, the heart attack. You know, there's no doubt about that. Without God, you know, I know myself, I wouldn't be here. And he's been there the whole entire time. I sent you a text the other day, and you sent me a YouTube video to watch about the force of average. I've watched it 3 times since. I think that was like 3 days ago. So I've been watching it every day, and it's inspiring. You know, it's a lot to take in, and you know, the force of average is coming for you every single day.
Yeah, you know, guys, you can go to YouTube and type in force of average, and that video will come up. I've made 1,500, 2,500 videos, whatever the number is, over the years, but that's the most powerful thing that I ever said. And I'm not sure how that came to me. I'm not sure why I decided to make that video, but that was the moment I made that video. I went from just a sales trainer that makes people money to a life changer that makes people the greatest version of themselves. And the force of average, it breaks down like this. You know, if you're homeless or poor or out of shape, they'll lift you up to lose a few pounds. They'll lift you up to make a few dollars. The force of average will have a gravitational pull to help you out. There's government assistance. There's, you know, fair housing. There's government housing, Section 8, disability. There's all these things designed on this earth to keep us average. Most people, they go out there, they get a $100,000, $200,000 a year job that they can't stand, but they need health insurance, a house payment, a car payment, and they're trapped in average and they can never go anywhere, right? Because when you start breaking average and you stop settling for good and you start chasing greatness, there is a gravitational pull down on you. That's why we see people that are on top of the world one moment and they're at rock bottom the next. We see sales guys that make, you know, $100,000 one year and then $20,000 the next year, or $60,000 one month and $6,000 the next month. The force of average is trying to keep every single human on this planet in place. So if you're going to chase greatness, you're going to get friction. You're going to get gravitational pull against you. You're going to get the force of average trying to push you down. But there's really four areas anybody can focus on a daily basis to beat the force of average. Number one is you got to have a grateful mindset, because gratitude is the prerequisite to abundance. Everybody always says you need an abundant thinking. It's like, that's really hard to do in a scarcity living situation. But if I was grateful for the time that I spent in prison, and I still am, because it helped me work out, it helped me lose weight, it helped me get my mind right, it helped me read a book a day. Like, I had that time and I was grateful that one day I'm going to get out of there, because my cellmate's doing life. My cellmates are doing 20 years. My cellmate's doing 30 years. So I had a reason to be grateful. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I went to 8 different prisons, maximum security prisons. So the scene you see in a movie where everybody's yelling at everybody as the new guy's walking on the prison run, at 21 years old, I had to do that 7 different times. And at 25 years old, I had to do it one more time. So, I mean, I've been in some of the worst places. You can look it up. There's a place called Beto 1 I did some time, and there was like 160 murders in the 4 or 5 months that I was there. I mean, I seen some shit, you know. And the force of average, but if I wasn't grateful for the opportunity that I only got 2 years, 15 months, and grateful for the ability to get out, then I wouldn't never be here. The second thing is you got to take care of your genetics. You need to eat healthy. I know it's expensive. That's why we need money. You need to get in the gym. I know it costs money for a gym membership. That's why we need money. Everything that we see except for the clouds, the sky, and air costs money. And you might think grass is free. Yeah, until you need sod at your house. Trees are free until one of them dies and your HOA makes you replace another one for $30,000. Nothing is free. And so when you focus on a grateful mindset, your genetics on a daily basis, so waking up, giving gratitude to God, giving gratitude to whatever you believe in, focusing on exercising the demon, going to the gym, eating right. And that doesn't mean that you can't eat pizza or hamburgers, but maybe don't eat 10 pieces. Maybe only eat 2. Maybe don't eat, you know, a double cheeseburger. Just eat a single cheeseburger. Maybe don't get a large fry. Get a small fry. Maybe don't drink a Coke. Drink a Diet Coke. It doesn't have to be a dramatic change. It can happen little by little over time. The third thing is your grind. That's your job. We grind. So many people we hear our whole lives, we say money doesn't grow on trees. I'm going to change your mind right here for a minute. Money does grow on trees. When in the Bible, in Psalms, book 1 of Psalms, it says, may your tree be planted by rivers of living water. And this is before the monetary system. This is before all of the things that exist today. But if you think about it, a tree gets planted by rivers or streams, like streams of income. Hear me out, right? Multiple. So a tree, its job is to suck up water, grow roots, grow a trunk, produce leaves, and produce fruit, right? Or my pecan trees here in my backyard, they produce nuts, right? But a tree, whether it's acorns, fruit, whatever the case, it's working. It's constantly growing. It's working. Now, if you replace trees with humans, the harder we work, the more money we make. We are the trees that produce money. Money does grow on trees. Ladies and gentlemen, you're that tree that's planted by rivers, multiple streams of water, right? Living water today. And what does water do? It's a current, right? And what do we call money? Currency. You see the supernatural, natural correlation that I'm making right here? We are the trees that money grows on. So it's time for you guys to go out there, work, grind, and grow that money and produce the fruit of money, because that's what we do. We produce human beings, and trees produce seeds that produce other trees. And then we produce fruit, which is money, right? The fourth thing is the group of people that you spend your time with. When I hung out with drug dealers and thugs, I did what drug dealers and thugs do, ended up in prison, dropping out of school, everything else. Now I hang out with millionaires and billionaires, and funny story, I do what those guys do. You know, I make money. I make sure that I'm living a clean life. I make sure that I'm dedicated to my wife. I hang out with pastors, politicians, millionaires, billionaires, because the people you surround yourself is who you become. So when you can master a grateful mindset, your genetics, grinding it out to make money and be the tree that money grows from, and then have the right group of people in your life, you will beat the force of average daily. But listen, what gets measured gets improved, and so many people think they're doing something, but they're not. So I created a program called the G-Code, and it's basically, that's what it is. It's the code to greatness, like a literal physical code that you would put into a computer. And you can go there and track your journey to greatness by going to dailygcode.com, signing up. It's absolutely free. There's no gimmicks. I don't have anything to sell you there. It's my gift to the world for you to measure your progress daily and see how much better you're getting with the point system that allows you to say, damn, I got 1,000 points. Damn, I've been doing this for 3 years. Man, my life is so much better because I'm checking off these four boxes that matter every single day. Who did I spend time with? How much work did I do? Did I eat and exercise today? Did I show gratitude for the things that I have in my life? If you can master those four things and measure them every single day, you're on the path to greatness, and the gravitational pull can only push you down so far before you bounce back up again.
That's awesome. Knowing what you know today, if there was something that you could have done first in business, what would that have been if it was different from where you started? Like, if there was something that you could do first by all the knowledge that you have from all the experiences and all the businesses that you've had and been successful, failed, or what have you, what would be like step one?
You know, I always just wanted to be a salesman. I never wanted to own my own business. And that's a trick from the force of average. In reality, it's like, hey, you can just go get a good paying job, raise a family, and be a God-fearing citizen of the United States. That was always my life. That was my goal in life, was just to be okay. I'd watch my grandfathers both lose all their fortunes, and I was scared. But now what I'm scared of is being a used to motherfucker. Oh, I used to have a great wife. I used to be a good dad. I used to have money. That's my biggest fear. Oh, I used to have nice shit. I used to be able to change people's lives, man. Like that's my biggest fear. And so many people, they don't start their business out of fear of the unknown, fear. But look, if you got the idea, go do it and don't give up. It's not like I got rich overnight again. 2010, I started teaching people social media. In 2010, I would be like, hey, you can make money from Facebook. And people would be like, Facebook? What's the Facebook? Like it was the craziest idea anybody had ever heard of. They said things like social media is a fad. Facebook's a fad, just like MySpace. Like people did not believe in it, but I had an idea, and I believed that idea was from God. And up days, down days, bad days, good days, I just kept at it. And the truth is, whether you're smart or dumb, experienced or inexperienced, if you'll just go take action, action leads to experience. Experience leads to mastery. So there's not a, you know, the first thing you should obviously do is have an idea, and then you need to go get an incorporation, and then you need to go get an EIN. But that's not really what runs business. You don't need to learn accounting to run a business. You don't need to learn law to run a business. You just need to go do shit, fuck it up. When the biggest thing I think was the biggest.
That's this guy right here.
No, that's why I love him.
You don't have to do half the shit that happens here. Yeah.
Well, and the biggest thing I think that was a big allowance for me to be able to grow in business is I was never approved for a credit card. I was never approved for a car loan. I mean, I was a drug dealer. I paid everything cash. I didn't have a credit score. And, you know, I didn't ever go in debt and have responsibilities. And so what happened as a direct result of that is it wasn't like, damn, I need to make my house payment. And if I go start this business, where am I going to get the money to make my house payment? Man, I slept on my parents' couch. I slept on my friends' couches. I've done everything that I had to do, but I stayed debt-free, which allowed me to move nimbly and allowed me to move without having some kind of noose around my neck or chain around my leg holding me back. So the biggest thing that I think I could tell anybody is don't borrow money. You know, go out there and hustle from scratch. Because now here I am 20 years later, and of course I've got debt now, like buildings. I run a big business and shit. So we have different debts, but I'm cash free. My car's paid for, you know, my house. I've got a mortgage on my house. I have these 21 rules of money. It says that you can finance cars and houses, not credit cards. And so I don't have credit card debt. I've got a 3% interest rate. I make a lot of money and I live in a house that costs me less than $4,000 a month. Most people at my level, they're buying $20 million houses and $15 million houses. And guess what that would do to me? That would cripple me if I needed to go make a big financial move because I'd be scared to lose the asset that I got. So not going into debt and not overextending yourself. If you get a credit card, cool, there's nothing wrong with that. Pay it off every month so you don't have to pay interest. Pay it off every month so you're not tempted to go spend more than you're actually going to afford. So that would be the biggest benefit to anybody starting out in a business is stay the fuck out of debt and go run your own lane and grow little by little because that's going to help you in the long term anyway because we see people that blow up overnight, they blow down overnight too.
So, you know, I'm part of your group and I wanted these guys to also know, you know, about Apex. You know, what is Apex?
Apex is a group of people. It's a business association is what we call it, but it's really a group of people chasing the greatest version of themselves. And it's like I said, when you get around the right people, the right place, and the right time, the right things happen. You get in a group of millionaires, whether you're a millionaire or not, you get around a group of millionaires, eventually they're going to pull you up. Right. If you let them, you get around a group of people that are making a ton of money, that have good wives and good husbands, that are good fathers and mothers, that are good employers and leaders. You can't help but let some of that rub off on you. And that's what we've created inside of Apex. We've got trainings where we teach you how to make money, get in shape, be better, like overall, all those four areas that I was talking about. But the biggest benefit is you're around the right people who want to see you win. You're around people, even if you're Ryan from 20 years ago and you were to join Apex, what's happened is there's people that say, man, it's an easy fix because I've been there. There's people that have had trust funds their whole life in there. And then there's people with more felonies than me that are in there that are worth more money than I am in there. Apex is an example of what's possible when you get with the right people and make the right moves. That's what it is.
How many people you think are in the group now?
Close to 3,000, either plus or minus, maybe 2,900 to 3,100, but somewhere around that.
That's amazing.
That's 3,900. That's 2,900 people. We'll just call it that. Most of them probably shouldn't have made it in life. Just like you were saying, you know, most of them were probably voted least likely to succeed. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what man says that you're least likely to do. It's what God calls you to do that you follow that call that matters. And it's not a religious program. Clearly, you can tell I'm not the best example of religious. I've said fuck like 20 times on this while talking about God. It's not a judgment. It's a judgment-free zone. It's just people who say, hey, okay, you're making 40 grand a year. We're going to get you to 100. Then we're going to get you to 250. Then we're going to help you get 500. Because listen, all like I said, the clouds, the sky, and the air is free. Everything else costs money in this life. So step one, get money. Step two, be on the track to become a better person because money gives you options. And if you don't decide to become a better person, money's only going to corrupt you. I've helped people in the past make money that decided to get a drug addiction or decided to sleep on their wife because now women see them with money. But if you become a better person and you get money, you just become better and better and richer and richer. You got to be on the track to become a better person. That better person making money will only make you more grateful, will only make you more of the person that God decided for you to become. I walk people through an exercise. You can find it on YouTube called The Greatest Version of Yourself. And it's a vision that I give people. And every time that I do that, and I've done it for 4 years now, hundreds of maybe even 1,000 times on stage at this point, everybody gets a vision of what's possible for their life, but that vision's impossible if you don't decide to become a better person. Money won't make you a better person, but becoming a better person will make you money.
It's an amazing exercise. You know, I've done it myself. I've done it with my team. I've done it with my girl, my kids. You know, my kid's 5 years old and I have him picturing the best version of himself and what that's going to look like. And, you know, we got to spend every single day of our lives, you know, getting to that point. And once I get there, I'm going to keep going. You know, there's no stopping.
There's no happily ever after. We watch a movie and the prince marries the princess, the curtain drops. And it's like they lived happily ever after. The curtain drops in our life when we drop dead. until then, there is no happily ever after. There's happy for today, happy for tomorrow, happy for the next day, living grateful for today, living grateful for tomorrow, living grateful for the next day. There's not a, you know, I lived under that illusion. Hey, one day I'll have $10 million and I'll be able to retire. What a fucking joke. What a fucking joke, man. I got a company that does that every month and I still fucking on the grind here, right? There is no happily ever after when you're chasing greatness, because greatness isn't achieved. It's a lifelong path of mastery, and it's only achieved when you die and people go to your funeral and they read eulogies and they say, that was a great man. That man achieved greatness beyond all odds. That guy made a great impact in my life. That guy made me a greater person. That's when greatness is achieved, but we don't get to see it down here on earth. We get to see it up from there only if they let us in.
And I hear it all the time. People tell me, you know, it must be nice. You know, it must be nice. Or, you know, you must be so happy. You got all this money. You know, does money bring you happiness?
It can if you choose to be happy. You know, I've been happy broke. I've been happy rich. I'd much rather be happy rich. But I've been happy in prison. I was probably the happiest dude in prison. You know, I'm the happiest dude out here. Do I have bad days? Fuck yeah, a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it's just life throws shit at you to test you so that you can get to that next level. But I choose happiness. And I don't like the word happiness. I say money doesn't make you grateful, but if you're grateful, you can make money.
Yeah, I tell these guys too, like you say, the great philosopher, you know, P. Diddy, you know, more money, more problems. If you ain't got problems, you ain't doing shit. There's going to be problems. You know, there's going to be all kinds of things you're going to have to overcome.
Get your ass up and get out there and make mistakes and fail forward. Like, bang your head against the wall. If it takes you, like, don't do anything illegal, but if it takes you going to prison to get off drugs and change your life, maybe that's what you needed to do. That's what I needed to do. Like, don't fight God's will for your life. Listen to that radio frequency antenna that he's telling you, get your shit together. Go start this business. Go be top producer. Marry that woman. Marry that man. Be a better father. That's not Jiminy Cricket in your conscience from some Disney movie that ends happily ever after telling you that. That is the direct frequency to our divine creator, whatever you want to call him, whatever you believe, calling you on what your path is. And most people never escape average or below average because they never listen to that voice. God, I'm scared. I can't do that. Why would you choose me? God, there's no way that you could want this for my life. You're not going to get an idea that you couldn't execute on, but you get ideas that you choose not to execute on. Therefore, you don't go to the next level in life.
Or they give up. They're right there and they decide to quit. You know, so they're so close, 3 feet away from the gold, and they decide, well, this is too hard. I'm going to stop.
There's been days in recent years that I wanted to quit. You know, there was a day 2 months ago, and I was talking to somebody, and I was like, man, if I thought life insurance would pay off, that'd be the easiest fucking way to take care of my family right now with the situation I'm in. Even though I'm financially blessed, I'm maritally blessed, I got great people around me. We all have bad days and want to quit. We all have shit that we go through that hurts us. It's the decision to keep after it no matter what that helps us stay on the path to where we're supposed to go.
Absolutely. The first 5 years we were in business, it was month after month, was loss after loss. And I'm talking about $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. We're coming to work every day, showing up, working 16, 20 hours a day and losing $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a month. And, you know, we chose to keep going. You know, there's quitting is not an option. Like, you tell people, you're going to have to fucking kill me to stop. There's no stopping, you know.
The must be nice people, they don't see that.
They don't see it. You know, they're like, I want to be you when I grow up. No, you don't. You can't take this shit. You would fucking cave in a heartbeat.
And it's not that you want to be me. Be you. Be the best version of you. I'm trying to be the best version of me. Go be the best version of you. Maybe even better than me. But if you're not chasing to become that person, you're never going to find out.
For sure. For sure.
Right.
And I know you recently quit smoking. You know, what do you think that came from?
I smoked weed for 30 years of my life. Since I was 14 years old, smoked it almost daily other than being in prison. And fuck, I got high in prison. You know, I may have had 5 years of my life where combined outside of age 14 that I didn't smoke. And most of those were spent incarcerated. But I realized, and this is a funny ass story, but, you know, I like Andrew Tate. And about 2 months ago, maybe a month and a half ago, he posted on Twitter, smoking weed's gay. Why would you want to smoke weed and go to sleep when we all have so much we're capable of doing? And sometimes you can hear shit your whole life. Weed's bad. You shouldn't be smoking weed, blah, blah, blah. But sometimes somebody shows up in your life and the right combination of words unlocks a closed mind. And that's what happened for me. And it wasn't that it's Andrew Tate and I'm some kind of, you know, Tate fan or what. I like the guy, but it just that I needed that message that day. And I didn't quit that day. I didn't go, well, Andrew Tate says I should stop smoking weed. I thought, man, he's right. I'm trying to escape a reality that I worked my whole fucking life to build. I'm trying to avoid, you know, the shit that I desired for so long. I'm smoking because it's a habit that I've had for 30 years. I'm smoking weed and getting high every day. And ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about high at bedtime. I smoke 10, 20 joints a day, every fucking day. I hit the vape pen all day long. Right. And I realize I have so much to be thankful for. My life is so much better if I got the energy. My life is going to be so much better for the people around me if I have a totally 100% clear mind. And I'd already quit drinking, and I didn't have a drinking problem. I just, it was at a point where why drink at all if I'm only going to drink every now and then? What's the point of it, right? And so July 30th, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to drink anymore. And I thought it would be harder than it actually is. And then on, let me see here. On November 18th, so we're almost a month away. We're 27 days into this. I just went, you know what? I'm gonna give it up forever. Now, in the past, I've quit smoking weed. Like the year 2020, I didn't smoke weed at all. But I said, I'm just gonna give it up for a year, or I'm just gonna give it up for a month. And I said, I always go back to it. This time, I'm giving it up for life and no going back. And let me tell you guys what happened. You know, when you got a Band-Aid, you can pull it off slowly or you can rip it off. And if you rip it off, it hurts. If you pull it off slowly, it hurts for longer, right? And God had been pulling this Band-Aid off my life really slow. And it was a slow, painful pulling of that Band-Aid. When I quit smoking weed week one, and man, I ain't gonna lie, the shit storm of bullshit decisions that I have been making for the last 30 years of my life all landed in my lap at once. It wasn't like, hey, I'm going to give him one demon to fight at a time. It was like, here's 5,000 fucking demons, you stupid fuck. I told you to quit 20 years ago, and I had to deal with them all. And I'm still fighting through decisions and shit like that right now. But I decided, hey, I'm quitting for today. I'm quit for the rest of my life. But only thing that matters is today. And man, I'm telling you, if I didn't quit when I did, this is divine timing. There's no way that I could have navigated through the fucking waters that I've had to go through in these last 30 days. No fucking way that I could have navigated through them. But since I had a clear head and since I had decided to rip that Band-Aid off, I'm about another 30 days from being on the other side of all of them. But man, once I get on the other side of all of them, we are going to be fucking unstoppable with what we're doing.
Yay.
That's awesome.
And
I always say God gives you what you need when you're ready for it, you know, and he knew you were ready, bro, and he threw the right thing at you at the right time to make sure that, hey, this is it, you know, let's get the right trigger and make this happen.
Well, for about 9 months, God's been saying all that shit you keep praying for, just quit smoking weed and it'll fall in your lap. You know, hey, every day you're asking me help for this. I'm telling you, the answer is smoking weed. I'm like, look, God, I need the weed. I need to calm down. I need to stay focused. All these fucking lies from the force of average that I had fallen into. Then what happened is I had one of my friends say he quit smoking weed. And then you said you quit smoking weed. And then Snoop Dogg, which obviously lied, said he quit smoking weed. And really, when Snoop Dogg quit, I went, shit, if he can do it, I got this. You know what I mean? Then Andrew Tate said smoking, his exact words were smoking weed's gay, right? And I'm like, man, all these people around me that Andy Elliott, I see him, he's completely sober. All these people that I started seeing in my life that were examples, what I call examples of what's possible. The one thing they had in common is they had either quit or they didn't smoke at all. And I thought, man, I guess it's the signs are fucking everywhere. I can only ignore them for so long before God smites me. So I'm just going to have to do this, man. I'm telling you, if you're out there smoking, unless you got cancer, unless you got leukemia, put that fucking shit down. Let your energy levels go up. Deal with your inner demons and go out there and channel those inner demons into fucking warriors to go out there and dominate life. It'll happen for you, but only if you make that decision.
Definitely.
Congratulations. That's awesome. Congrats. It's no easy task, that's for sure. I mean, I've been with this guy for a while, and he was all day, every day, bong rips in the morning. I mean, it was like, that was just part of the day. That's just what it was.
You inspired me, Alex. You know, I quit like 2 weeks after you. I was like, oh shit, he's still not smoking. I gotta tap in with him. You know, you inspired me, man. You were a big factor in that decision.
I appreciate it, bro. Yeah, because you know, and it's like you said, you know, I was falling asleep, dude. I'm falling asleep on my kids. I'm falling asleep on my life. I'm, you know, what the fuck am I sleeping about, dude? This life is amazing. What the fuck am I doing?
We live a dream life, but we're trying to fucking dream. what you know what I mean? Like, it just didn't make any sense anymore. So yeah. I want to dream while I'm awake. I want to live the dream, not dream the dream.
Yep. For sure. Dude.
For a guy who does so much, I mean, you totally kill it with everything. Like, you're a family man, success. There's just everything you, I mean, you're really like my goals with you as far as how you schedule things and you time block, and you're just doing it all. We all have the same 24 hours, but you do a great job. What would you say your next goal is? Like, if you had to say, and one of them is okay, just a goal, like, this is a goal that I have, because you've done so much and you have so much going on. Like, what else could you possibly want?
That's I have an answer for you. It's a great question. You know, I've got a checklist of life, and I've checked most of it off, to be honest with you. You know, I've checked it all off except for being a billionaire. And I've checked most of, I got four kids and a vasectomy, so I've checked that part off of my life. You know, I've got an amazing wife that like, just last night I was telling her, like, you're my best friend. I spend time with you. You know, I don't hang with my employees. I don't have a whole lot of friends. I do business with people and stuff like that. But any chance I get, I hang with my best friend, and that's my wife, Amy. And so I've got all these things, but the next goal for me, and I've got two prospects, but it's to sell a company. The only thing that I haven't done in business, I've hit, you know, crazy astronomical numbers. I've been doing this for a long time. So we've hit crazy astronomical, unprecedented numbers. I run one of the biggest business associations in our industry. But the one thing I haven't done is sell a business. So I've been forced for the last 6 months to start digging into things and organizing things to where it's not just a business, it's a sellable asset. And so I own a company called Phone Sites, and I own another lending company called Closer Capital. And I'm building these two companies to sell both of them within the next 3 to 5 years. And when I mean selling them, I'm not just like, hey, we're going to go make more money. I mean, I'm building scorecards, KPI, all that boring shit, because billions are made in the boring, ladies and gentlemen. You know, everybody wants to go drive a Lambo. And look, I got a Lambo, okay? So I'm not knocking that. But everyone wants to drive a Lambo, but they don't want to do the shit that it takes to get one. Everybody wants the private jet. I got one, but it's not about that. It's the things I had to do to get that. So if I want to be, it's the boring shit that I had to do in order to experience the exciting shit on the other side of it. So I'm doing the boring work right now so that maybe I sell them for billions, maybe I don't, but I got a mentor that's been there, done that. He sold exactly what I'm building for $1.8 billion. He's given me the blueprint, given me the ideas, holding me by the hand. So whether I sell it for, you know, 100 million or a billion or 10 billion or 500 million, it doesn't matter. That's the thing that I want to do is make an exit so I can say, literally, I've built it from scratch. I've grown it, cultured it, and exited it. And I think that's just that's my next life goal. You know, I've got all these other things. I don't want another house. I don't need another car. I don't need a bigger airplane. I don't need any of this shit. What I want is the excitement of somebody saying, man, I want to value something that you built so much that I'm willing to give you tens and hundreds and maybe even $1 billion for it because of what you built. And that won't be a happily ever after for me. It's not like, oh, I'm gonna make $100 million from selling phone sites and I'm going to retire. No, I'm going to make $100 million from that, or $200 million or $300 million from Closer Capital, whatever it is. And I'm going to give all the shit that I charge money for at Apex right now away for free. I'm going to disrupt the industry so much. I watch so many of these guys that are in my industry, you know, tell us that they made $100 million, tell us that they built a $1 billion company, and then they want to charge people $50,000 for coaching, which I think is fucking selfish. What I want to do is give this shit to the Ryans of 1999 that need it the most, that don't have the money to invest in it right now. And that's my big goal, to end this industry with it being free. We're the best, done the best, been the biggest, and now it's free to anybody that's willing to put skin, not money, but skin in the game and do the work. Because at that point, I can say, hey, Alex, you're an Apex executive, and I expect this, and this, or I'm going to kick you the fuck out. I don't want your money. I want your results. And if you don't want to get the results, you can't fucking sit with us. And that's how I'm going to lead change in this industry that nobody else has. So that's my big sell a company, give my shit away for free.
Super cool. That's super cool. Amazing. Well, all that boring shit that you've already done, all the scorecards and the KPIs and the SOPs, thank you. Because we absolutely needed that so badly in our business. We did not have it. And thank God we have you.
Yeah.
You guys see it. You know what I mean? You see it firsthand, the shit that I'm building. So you see where I'm trying to go with this thing and getting this shit dialed in, you know, and again, that's the benefit is that's what I want to do at some point in the future. And I will always be thankful for the people that paid me along the way when we needed to be paid to keep going forward. But at some point in the future, Alex, we're going to look back And we're going to have a committee and we're going to say, using Jamie, for example, we're going to say, do we think that she's apex? Do we think she's going to get the results? Because we don't want to spend our time and invest our time with her if she's not going to come in here. And we're going to pick the hungry Alexes and the hungry Ryans and the hungry Jamies and change their lives so that they can go out and change other lives. And that is, I think, my key to heaven. And it's heaven on earth. When I get up to heaven, the best case scenario is when they open the gates and it's all the kids that I've rescued from sex trafficking for the millions that we've given to charity. It's all the human beings that became better parents, lost weight, became better leaders that are up there saying, look at the impact that you made on this world. That's my goal in life.
You made a hell of an impact, bro. I'll tell you that. You know, we're here in Chicago, you're in Texas, and what you've done for us has been amazing. You know, and the little bit of time that I've been following you, and, you know, been a few years now, and you know, just like you said, bro, got to put in the work, you know, got some skin in the game, and we just do what we got to do. And we follow what you tell us to do, because you've already done what we're trying to get to. So is there ever a time that you doubt, like, yourself?
All the damn time. I'm human. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just like anybody else. You know, I got a shit shower, shave, you know, insecurity, imposter syndrome. I mean, when you're hanging out with people that are worth more than you, that are in better shape than you, that have longer marriages than you, of course you're going to feel insecure. Of course you're going to feel inferior. Of course you're going to feel like you don't belong in the room, but you still show up. You still do the work. There's times when, you know, I don't have confidence. There's times when, you know, shit, I don't know the answer to something, and I do it anyway. I'll figure it out along the way.
What about criticism? Like, how do you deal with that? Like,
one of two ways. It doesn't matter because they don't know me, or I try to take it as correction or give me direction. And sometimes somebody criticizing you, they're not criticizing you, they're trying to correct you. And if you look at it that way, it's like the other day I watched somebody sent me, I hate it when people do this. So those of you watching, please don't do this. But, you know, somebody's talking smack about me on the internet, and they sent me a video. But the person talking smack was telling the truth. The person was saying the things that the other person's like, look, this person's talking shit about you. And I was like, yeah, they technically are, but those are areas that I can improve on. That person's right. You know, maybe they're using it as a chance to make themselves look better than me, but I'm going to use it as an opportunity to make me better than me.
Good way to look at it.
We actually got a message from a couple of people this morning. Somebody was talking shit about us on the internet. I'm like, bro, it's all good.
I'm good at ignoring people, so I can just ignore it.
The main thing is they're talking about us. That's that's the way I look at it. It's all
God sending you a messenger. That's all. There's always some truth. It may not all be truth, and not everything this person said was the truth, but there was enough truth in there for me to go, all right. I remember in 2017, I made a video. And I was wearing a white shirt. In the comments on YouTube, you can still go back and look at it. They're like, this dude's got man boobs. This dude's got man boobs. What a fucking fat loser, blah, blah, blah. And now, I mean, I ain't got none of that shit. I went and got in shape. I didn't take it as, oh, they hurt my feelings, or, oh, right. They were pointing out areas that I needed to improve. And I didn't improve to impress them. I improved because that wasn't the greatest version of myself. And I could have been like, oh, body dysmorphia and body positive and all that fucking shit people say now. But instead, I went hammer fucking down on diet in the gym and changed my fucking life. And guess what? I bet those motherfuckers are still fat and I'm not anymore.
Right.
There you go.
Who really won? Who really won with your criticism? Who really, whose life was changed with your criticism? It wasn't you, because you ran your mouth. I ran on the treadmill, motherfucker. We ain't the same.
They're just going to find somebody else to criticize.
That's right. But hopefully that next person takes that criticism as correction and makes their life better too.
Exactly.
It's definitely about being coachable. You know that, you know, there's things that you need to improve. Mm-hmm. And how important you think mentorship has been on your journey?
Man, I've spent over $2 million in mentors. You know, some people will mentor you for free, but successful people, their time is valuable. And I want to value their time by paying for them. There's a lot of people that said, I'll do it for free. And I was like, it ain't going to work for free. Let me pay you because I value your time. I've spent over $2 million in 13 years on masterminds, coaches, mentors, whatever you want to call it. You know, God's my ultimate mentor, but I know for a fact I wouldn't be here without aligning with people. See, a lot of people say, well, how do you get connected to millionaires? figure out how to become a 100,000-aire and give them $1,000. Hey, will you sit down and talk to me? Here's $1,000. I value your time. Most people aren't going to say no to that. Like Bill Gates might, right? Warren Buffett might, because they're worth billions. Elon Musk might. But your local millionaire, if you showed up and he's like, hey, man, I saved up $1,000. I just need 2 hours of your time to get some answers and some direction from you. And I value your time. This is all I have. Will you take it and give me some wisdom? Dude, they'll take it in a heartbeat. And oftentimes they'll tell you, I don't need your fucking money as long as you get the results. A lot of my mentors over the years have said, I'll help you and I'll take your money. And if you go do what the fuck you say you're going to do and what I tell you to do, I'll give you your money back. If not, then you're out. Right. So, you know, that's just part of it.
Who has been some of your mentors?
First mentor I had was Zig Ziglar. Plain and simple. He lived right here. He died right here in Plano, Texas. Lived right here in Plano, Texas. My office is literally, you didn't know this, Alex, but if you make a left out of my office and you go till it dead ends into his old house.
Wow.
I'm in the territory of greatness, son. and next was a guy named Frank Kern. He taught me internet marketing. Next was a guy named Kevin Nations. He taught me how to set up groups like Apex, you know, like that was the whole premise of that. After that, it was a guy who's well known now, but little known back then, named Russell Brunson. Then it was, I've had a lot of them, you know, over the years. I've always with somebody. Right now, I have a guy named Bobby Castro who mentors me, and a guy named Patrick Bet David who mentors me. And, you know, I have a move, you know, Frank was making 5 to 10 million a year. And once I passed that, I moved on to the next mentor. And then, you know, Kevin's making a couple million a year. Once I passed that, I moved on to the next mentor. And now I've got billionaires as mentors because can I accomplish it? I don't know, but I'm trying. And that's where I'm trying to go. So I'm always getting around people at the next level. But I paid $300,000 to work with Patrick Bet David. I paid probably close to $350,000 to work with Bobby, you know, and you can sit here and go, well, dude, you got the money to spend, but it started off spending $500 with Zig Ziglar.
That's amazing. One last question for you. So, you know, what do you think you saw in us that made you decide to want to get into business with us?
You know, that's a good question. I mentor very few people personally because I just don't have the time, right? We have group Apex and everything else. And I always select people that I think are unique to work with and possibly even partnership with them. That's my diabolical plan. But Alex, I could tell you to go set, you know, here's what you want to do. You want to make $1 million. You go get a fishing pole. You put a piece of cheese at the end of it and you throw it down the hallway of the real estate office. You'd go, that's fucking crazy, but all right, I'll do it. Like, and I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you, even though you may not believe it'll work, you're willing to like go take, and it's not about me telling you what to do, but how you do anything is how you do everything. I go to the gym. You're from up north where it's nice and cool. Me and you go to the gym halfway through the stretch. You're sweating your fucking balls off because our gym's not AC, but I can tell how you do everything. You worked your ass off with no fucking excuses in one of the toughest gyms in America in all reality. That place is not pretty. It's not clean. It's fucking hot as shit in July in the summer. And I put people through that ringer in my life to see if they really are who they're pretending to be in front of me. And man, I haven't seen any flaws in your game, man. And so I want action takers in my life. I want people who are like running the ball down the field and fucking face masking people and mowing them over. I want that. And I believe that's who you are. And then the beautiful thing is you have Jamie, who, like I said, she's really good about giving you just enough fucking rope to where you can get a distance away, but not enough to hang yourself. She's she's my Amy. She's the, hey, awesome. Hey, that's a good decision. That's not the best decision. That's what my wife always says. Hey, that's a good decision, but that's not the best decision. And that's how I need it presented to me. And that's how I see Jamie as well. Obviously, I don't know her as well as I know you, but I see that combination between Alex is going to run the ball down the field and Jamie's going to be calling the plays on the sideline, go left, go right, do this. Oh, shit, don't do that. And I just admire that relationship with you guys. I really do.
Well, thank you. And I absolutely adore your wife, Amy. I adore her. And thank you so much for your time. We're so honored that you gave us your time today. And Alex and I, we both really look up to you. Man, so we appreciate it. It means so much to us for you to come on here today.
No doubt. The feeling is mutual, guys. So thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. My right. My. I'm in these
age. You ought to hear what I'm saying. Success is a plan that takes years in the making. When nobody did, I believe. Had to let go of things I did not need. Cut off some friends in the process. What could I say? I could no longer carry the dead weight. Get off your ass. There's lots you can do.